Grammy Award winner Kurt Elling is among the world's foremost jazz vocalists. He has won the Downbeat Critics Poll for 14 consecutive years and was named Male Singer of the Year by the Jazz Journalists Association on 8 occasions. A truly international jazz award winner, he's been Grammy nominated a dozen times. Kurt Elling, good evening and thanks for joining me.
Thank you. That's a very kind introduction.
Kurt, it's been nearly 6 years since we last had the opportunity to chat, just after you had recorded your album, The Gate. Of course, you've released two albums since then, 1619 Broadway and Passion World.
The next record that's actually coming out for me is with Branford Marcellus and his band, and it'll be called Upward Spiral. That will be coming out in June of this year. Yes, I should say it's quite a different direction.
Can you describe your emotional connection with Sinatra's music?
We were doing a lot of Sinatra dates for the 100th anniversary. I learned a whole lot of things from Sinatra. I think anybody who's going to be a swinging singer with some power and know how to drive a big band around, you're going to have to listen to Sinatra in order to know how to do it right. But the direction I'm going in is much more toward new music and things that worked well for Branford Marcellus' band and for his concept of the next thing that was coming up.
Now, joining you in Sydney will be Gary Versace, piano, Clark Summers, the bass, Ulysses Owens Jr. on drums, and John McLean, the guitarist. Of course, Ulysses Owens has been with you before in Australia, and John McLean was on The Gate. Can you tell us briefly what qualities each of these artists bring to your music?
Well, Gary is a very well-known player on the New York scene. He's equally adept on the B3 organ as he is playing a beautiful Steinway Grand. He's a great composer and arranger. You'll have heard him on countless records as a sideman, but the reason that is because he has an extremely fluid, lyrical approach that is distinctive and all his own. John McLean brings a lot of fire to the stand. He was with me last year when we came together with the Melbourne Symphony, and people got to have a little bit of a taste when we were doing that gig around the time of the festival there. Clark Summers has been in the band now for some time, and he's just the meat and potatoes that we need to make sure that we all know where one is and take care of business back there. He's got a beautiful bass sound. Ulysses is one of my main cats, man. He's a very swinging young man, and he's dedicated to making music for the highest good, and we're just going to have a ball.
Can you tell us about the repertoire Sydney audiences can expect from your concert here, Kurt?
We'll be doing things from a number of our most recent recordings and also reaching back. You mentioned Passion World and The Gate, but we'll also be reaching back a little ways for some things that maybe people have heard or have wanted to hear us do and have only heard us do on recordings. And, of course, I'm always working toward a new record, so there's always new information that we have not yet recorded. That's underway.
Sadly, last year we lost the great vocalist and mentor for you, Mark Murphy. Can you tell us about a fond memory of one of his performances?
Well, I remember each of the performances I ever got to hear, and there were many. And I remember every venue, and I remember I don't remember necessarily every set list, but I remember that he did a marvelous, incredible version of Never Let Me Go. It was one of his signature ballads there for a while. And nobody could really top Mark when it came to heartbreaking balladry. You know, he just stopped the clock. He stopped the whole world, and everybody had to sit down for a second and listen to him. He was a great artist.
You're with Gary now rather than Lawrence. Is that because Lawrence wanted to go out on his own direction?
Absolutely. At a certain, you know, Lawrence has a lot of music in him, and at a certain point, a man's got to kind of learn how to stand on his own two feet, and he certainly has the strength to do it. He certainly has an incredible gift of music to bring into the world, and, you know, brother can't always be in the singer's shadow for his whole life. So I'm really proud of him, and I'm proud to say that he's put a new record out with John Patitucci, and it's going gangbusters, and he'll always have a seat in this band.
What effects are the various forms of social media having on the music business, Kurt? Is it making things easier for artists?
Oh, I think it's making some things easier for some artists. I mean, it's certainly fun and thrilling and helpful to have immediate online contact with whole swaths of fans. You know, for instance, when we come down to Australia, then we can send out an email blast to everybody and let them know to listen for the radio and listen for great interviews like this one and you know where the venue is. It's certainly easier for a lot of unknown artists to put their stuff out into the world. At the same time, you know, it can be a lot harder to get actually paid for the music that you create and paid for the recordings that you create. But I'm not, you know, the world is always moving, and it's for the artists to adapt to it as much as it is for the artists to forecast what's going to come next and to feel things and to translate them for the rest of everybody. So, I don't know that I have any complaints about whether things are hard or whether they're, I mean, life is, the Buddha says life, the first noble truth is that there's suffering. So, my suffering under the fact that now we have the internet and social media is hardly suffering compared to what refugees from Syria are suffering or people who have an incredible disease. And, you know, I'm lucky to have a seat at the table, and I'm fortunate to have dates, and I'm really looking forward to coming back down to Sydney to make music with my friends down there.
Barack Obama has been an advocate for jazz when he's had the opportunity. The recent International Jazz Day celebrations at the White House is a good example of that. And I believe you performed at his first state dinner in a command performance. What do you think will be his most enduring legacy?
Wow. Well, I would say civility, dignity. I would say that he has been able to keep a straight head in very crooked times. I've been very, very proud to have him as our president and to have Michelle Obama as our first lady. I think they've represented the United States just beautifully and so smartly. I mean, you know, again, there's no perfect way to do any of the tasks that are set before us. But I think we are, as a globe, going to miss that couple in that power seat when they're gone.
Kurt, what many people love about your recorded work is that each album is often stylistically thematic, though not in a concept album type of way. The last time we spoke, you mentioned how good jazz anticipates the future. So with that in mind, what direction do you think your next stylistic theme will be heading?
Well, actually, the next place that I'm going with my own band is to the holidays. We're going to make a holiday record this coming week in Chicago. And we've been working hard on arrangements and instrumentation and trying to pick out the best pieces and things that are not necessarily that well known but fit the season. So people can look for a holiday record from me in this year. So by the time it's summer for you again, there's going to be a new Kurt Elling record out.
Thanks very much, Kurt Elling, for joining us.
Thank you so much.